Okay, so picture this. You pull into a parking lot, and right next to your car is one of those monster trucks. You know those ones with the giant wheels?
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I always feel a little intimidated. Like, whoa, that is a big vehicle.
Yeah, you kind of feel small next to something like that.
Exactly. Now imagine that feeling, but instead of a truck, it's a lion. And not just any lion. We're talking about a lion that's even bigger than the African lions we see in documentaries today. This is the American lion, and it was a true giant of the cat world.
It really was a formidable predator. We're talking about a creature that was about 25% larger than modern African lions. It was one of the largest cats to ever roam the earth.
That's what I'm talking about. The American lion, scientifically known as Panthera atrox. This beast roamed North and South America for a staggering amount of time.
Almost 2 million years. Can you imagine that?
2 million years. That's not just a quick visit. That's like setting up a whole civilization.
It really puts things into perspective, doesn't it? They were around from about 1.8 million years ago to about 11,000 years ago. So we're talking about the Pleistocene epoch.
The Pleistocene epoch.
Yeah.
Now, for those of us who aren't paleontologists, what does that mean in like layman's terms?
Basically, it was a time of ice ages and giant mammals, what we call megafauna. It's when mammoths and mastodons roamed the earth alongside saber-toothed cats and, of course, our American lion.
So a time of giants, and this lion was right there in the thick of it. But even with a name like American lion, their territory wasn't limited to just what we call the United States today, right?
Oh no, not at all. Their range was incredibly vast. We're talking all the way from the grasslands and forests of North America down into parts of South America.
Wow, okay, so a serious chunk of the Americas.
Absolutely. And here's the kicker. They've even found fossils as far north as the Arctic Circle.
Hold on a minute, the Arctic Circle. Lions in the Arctic. That's like saying penguins live in the Sahara Desert.
Right. Seems strange, doesn't it? But the evidence is there. We found their remains in some pretty surprising places.
So how does a creature known for its size and power survive in such a harsh environment? Were they like super lions with antifreeze in their veins?
Well, we haven't found any evidence of antifreeze just yet, but it's a great question and one that keeps paleontologists up at night. We can speculate that they must have had some incredible adaptations to survive in such diverse environments.
Like a thick coat of fur for the colder climates.
Exactly. Their coats were probably much thicker and denser than those of their modern relatives in Africa.
Makes sense. A little extra insulation goes a long way when you're dealing with ice and snow.
And perhaps their hunting strategies differed depending on their location, too.
Okay, so they were adaptable. A true sign of a successful species. They clearly weren't afraid of a little cold weather.
It seems that way.
But we've established this lion was massive. It lived in a wide range of habitats. It's like a real-life superhero of the animal kingdom. But how did they use these advantages to survive? What were their hunting strategies like?
Well, based on the fossil evidence, like trackways and the type of prey found near their remains, it's very likely that American lions were pack hunters.
Pack hunters.
Like wolves.
Very similar. It makes sense when you think about the size of their prey.
Okay, yeah, you're not bringing down a mammoth by yourself.
Right. Taking down the megafauna of the Pleistocene mammoths, giant sloths, even camels and bison that required teamwork. So imagine a coordinated attack by a pack of these massive lions. It must have been like a scene from Jurassic Park, but with fur and claws instead of scales and teeth.
It definitely would have been a sight to behold.
But it also makes you think they shared this territory with another legendary predator, the saber-toothed cat. How did these two apex predators manage to coexist without constantly battling for dominance?
Now, that's a question that has fascinated paleontologists for a long time.
Right, because you've got two incredibly powerful predators vying for resources in the same area.
Exactly. And yet, they seem to have coexisted for thousands of years.
So what's the secret? How did they manage to share the land without constantly ripping each other apart?
Well, it all comes down to their hunting styles and prey selection. They had different approaches, which allowed them to thrive in the same ecosystems without directly competing for every single resource.
So it's like a prehistoric version of niche marketing. They each found their own lane and dominated it.
That's a great way to put it.
So tell me more. How did their hunting styles differ?
Well, the American lion, with its likely pack hunting behavior, would have targeted larger prey. Mammoths, bison mill, those were their bread and butter, so to speak.
Okay, makes sense. Strength in numbers for the larger and more challenging prey.
Right. Now, the saber-toothed cat, on the other hand, was more of a specialist. With those massive fangs, they were designed for taking down smaller, more solitary prey.
So they weren't going after the same targets. The American lion is like the all-terrain vehicle of the Pleistocene, while while the saber-toothed cat is more like a high-performance sports car.
That's a great analogy.
Each with its own strengths and weaknesses. It's amazing to think about these ancient ecosystems and how these top predators carved out their own niches. But it does make you wonder, if they were so successful, why aren't we sharing the planet with American lions today? What led to their demise?
Ah, yes, the million-dollar question. It's a mystery that has puzzled scientists for decades. And as we'll soon see, the answer is a complex one that has some eerie parallels to the challenges many species face today. It's like trying to solve a cold case from thousands of years ago. We only have fragments of the story.
But we do have some clues, right? What are the main suspects in the case of the disappearing American lion?
Well, one of the biggest factors was probably something we hear a lot about even today, climate change.
Makes sense. Climate change has been a driving force for extinctions throughout history. Exactly. And for a creature like the American lion that was so well adapted to its environment, a major shift in the climate could have been devastating.
So let's go back to the end of the last ice age around 11,000 years ago. What was happening then?
Well, the Earth was going through a warming period, glaciers were melting, sea levels were rising, and these changes were happening relatively rapidly.
Okay, so imagine the impact on those ecosystems. The landscapes that the American lion depended on were literally changing beneath their paws.
Exactly. And with those changes came a shift in vegetation.
Which, of course, affected the herbivores that depended on those plants.
Right. The megafauna, the giant sloths, the mammoths, their food supply was disrupted.
And since the American lion relied on those large herbivores for their meals.
Well, it created a ripple effect throughout the food chain.
The classic case of adapt or die.
Unfortunately for the American lion, it seems they weren't able to adapt quickly enough.
It really makes you think about the fragility of ecosystems. One change triggers another, and even the most powerful creatures can be affected.
Absolutely.
But it wasn't just climate change that spelled trouble for the American lion, right? There was another new arrival on the scene.
Oh, right. We can't forget about humans.
The human factor. It seems like we're always involved in these extinction events one way or another.
Well, in this case, humans were migrating across the Bering Land Bridge around the same time the climate was changing.
That strip of land that once connected Asia and North America.
Exactly. And with them came new hunting techniques and a greater demand for resources.
So more competition for food and maybe even direct conflict with the American lions.
It's possible. We don't have any smoking guns, but it's certainly a factor to consider.
So we've got this perfect storm of sorts. Climate change disrupting the food chain, and then humans entering the picture, adding even more pressure.
It was a lot for any species to handle, let alone a large predator that requires a significant amount of territory and prey.
It makes you wonder if things had been different, if the climate hadn't changed so drastically, or if humans had arrived on the scene much later, could the American lion have survived?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Unfortunately, we can't rewind time.
Speaking of clues, though, you mentioned the La Brea tar pits earlier. I've always been fascinated by those tar pits, a true window into the past. But I've also heard that they offer some intriguing hints about the differences between American lions and saber-toothed cats.
Oh, absolutely. The La Brea tar pits are like a giant prehistoric graveyard. And what's interesting is that they've found far fewer American lion skeletons compared to saber-toothed cats.
Really? That is interesting. Why do you think that is?
Well, it could indicate a difference in intelligence and adaptability.
So the American lions were smart enough to avoid those sticky death traps.
It's a theory. We think that American lions, with their potential for social intelligence and pack hunting, were better at recognizing the danger.
Makes sense. A pride of lions communicating and looking out for each other.
Exactly. Whereas saber-toothed cats, being more solitary hunters, might have wandered into the tar pits unaware of the danger.
Fascinating stuff. Those subtle differences in behavior and social structure could have had a big impact on their survival. It really highlights the importance of adaptability and social intelligence. But it also makes me curious about those American lion prides. Do we know anything about their social dynamics? Were they similar to modern lion prides? Were they like the Brady Bunch of the Pleistocene era?
Huh? Well, maybe not exactly like the Brady Bunch.
Okay, so maybe not a sitcom-worthy family dynamic.
Right. But in terms of social structure, it's likely there were similarities.
Right.
We can look at modern lion prides for clues. They typically have a dominant male, several females, and their cubs.
A sort of Lion King with his queen and a bunch of little princes and princesses running around.
Exactly. And this social structure would have been beneficial for hunting, raising young, and defending their territory.
Strength in numbers, as they say. It really makes you think, though, what if the American lion hadn't vanished? What if they were still around today?
It's a fascinating thought experiment, isn't it?
It is. I mean, we're talking about a predator that was larger and potentially even more powerful than African lions. Would they be the stars of their own nature documentaries? Would we have special reserves and conservation efforts dedicated to protecting them?
I'd say it's highly likely they would capture our imaginations just like other large predators do today.
And probably spark some serious debates about human-wildlife conflict, too. Coexisting with a predator of that size wouldn't be without its challenges.
Absolutely. Their story, though, rooted in the distant past, holds a lot of relevance to the challenges we face today.
Right. It makes you think about our impact on the environment and the delicate balance of ecosystems.
Exactly. The extinction of the American lion, along with so many other megafauna during the late Pleistocene, it serves as a stark reminder that even the most dominant species can be vulnerable to change.
It's a reminder that we need to be mindful of our place in the web of life.
Absolutely. And to continue learning from both the successes and the failures of the past.
Well said. Well, there you have it. The American lion, a true icon of the Pleistocene epoch. A reminder that even giants can fall, and that we have a responsibility to protect the incredible biodiversity that still exists today.
I couldn't agree more.
So next time you encounter a lion, whether it's on a screen in a book or hopefully in the wild, take a moment to appreciate its power, its majesty, and its place in the grand tapestry of life on Earth. And remember that our actions today will determine the fate of these magnificent creatures for generations to come. Until next time, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and never stop being curious about the natural world. Happy diving, everyone.